Former All Blacks coach Steve Hansen has just said the unthinkable. He says that the Springboks are not worthy world champions and that the All Blacks were robbed during last year's Rugby World Cup final. Can you believe it? And just when you think it couldn't get any worse, wait till you hear his exact words. Well, today you are going to get a front row seat to the words spoken by the former Kiwi boss, and I'll show you exactly why he is gravely mistaken. But just before I show you what he said, I want to tell you quickly about my brand new book, How to Become a Sports Journalist. Guys, this will make a fantastic Christmas present, or you can just get it for yourself. The whole idea here is me packing in 20 years worth of experience into one book, sharing all the knowledge and information that I've gained over the last two decades to help aspiring sports journalists or those who are mid-career and feel like they are stuck in a rut. This book features interviews with high-profile sports journalists, including famous football commentator Peter Drury, as well as everything that I wish I had been taught back in the day. You don't have to get 20 years of experience, you can just get this book and get it in 258 pages. It's available right now on Amazon. So let's get back to the matter at hand. Steve Hansen, the former All Blacks coach, claiming that New Zealand were robbed during last year's World Cup. Now, in this latest interview, because he's actually made these claims previously, on this occasion, he doesn't specifically mention anything, but we do have a little bit of history that we can go on. And more importantly, in this particular interview, he does say that the All Blacks were robbed. Yes, he actually used that terminology, robbed. Now, personally, I think it's very rich coming from a New Zealander to claim that another team was robbed in a rugby match at the hands of the referee, especially when you consider what happened at the 2011 Rugby World Cup. But I'll talk a little bit about that specifically towards the end of this episode. Here's what Hansen had to say. This is a team that should have won the World Cup. They were robbed of the World Cup, as far as I'm concerned, with some poor decisions that were out of their control, which cost them a World Cup. So as mentioned, he hasn't gone into specifics here, but in a previous interview, Hansen has cited the Sam Kane red card as being something that he thought was a refereeing error. Now let's talk a little bit about Kane, the former All Blacks captain in that Rugby World Cup final. Around 2019, World Rugby introduced a new height tackle framework. I'll repeat that, height tackle framework. That was around 2019. So you could say that the players, up until the 2023 Rugby World Cup final, had had 4 years of which to get used to it, to practice it, to implement it. And by the way, something interesting that you may have noticed, the Springbok players, notably Peter Seftetoi, for example, in that World Cup final, the tackle height that the Springboks were tackling at was mostly perfect. Now, I say mostly because obviously it wasn't 100% the case, and you might point to the Siya Kolisi yellow card in the final. A lot of people were asking the question at the time, how come Siya got a yellow and it wasn't upgraded to red, whereas Kane did get a yellow and it was upgraded to red? What exactly happened there? Let me explain. So, again, the height tackle or tackle height framework introduced in 2019, where you can't tackle a player above a certain height, okay? Now, what happened in the Sam Kane incident is it was a high tackle, just like in the Siya Kolisi incident. The difference here is what they call mitigating factor. So in Kane's instance, there was no attempt on the part of the All Blacks player to lower himself to bring down the level of danger in the tackle. Whereas with Siya Kolisi, you could see that he actually did try to bring himself down. Now remember, guys, obviously we're looking at these things in slow motion. In the moment, we're talking about split seconds here, okay? It's not like Siya or Sam are tackling players in slow motion. This is in real time, okay? So let's say that you're behind, obviously, or hopefully behind the offside line at a ruck. Your opponent gets the ball, the scrum half for argument's sake, whoever it may be, and you're going to go in for a tackle. You've got a split second to make the decision whether or not you are going to make the tackle or you're going to run with the decoy runner. You've got a split second to make that decision. And if you decide that you're going to tackle the player with the ball, all of that happens in a matter of less than 2 seconds, sometimes less than 1 second. That whole process plays out. So to get your tackle perfect, you know, we're talking about scientific measurements here. And that is why you do need to allow for a degree of error, okay? However, when it comes to World Rugby and this tackle height framework, there's pretty much zero tolerance, okay? So if you get it wrong, it's a red card. And that's what happened with Sam Kane. There was no attempt to lower his own tackle height. Whereas with Sia Kolisi, there was an attempt on the part of Sia. And if you watch the replays, you can see Sia sort of trying to dip his head a little bit. And listen, again, in the space of a second or less than a second, this is the kind of thing that is taking place. But in Sia's case, he did attempt to lower himself. Even if he didn't lower himself successfully, the law then tells us, okay, it's a high tackle, it's a dangerous tackle, but we could see that the player attempted to lower himself and therefore it will just be a yellow card. Whereas in the case of Kane, there was not an obvious attempt by the All Blacks captain to lower himself. And that's why Kane received a yellow card and it was upgraded to red, whereas Sia was just a yellow and he came back onto the field 10 minutes later. Now, you would think that the coach of the All Blacks, a man who was in charge of that team for 8 years, who won the Rugby World Cup, who won the Rugby Championship, I think it was 6 times, if I'm not mistaken, in his time in charge, who beat the Springboks, it was something like 80% of the time, if not more. Hansen won 87% of his tests with the All Blacks. You would think a man like that would understand these things. Or at least you would like to think so. By the way, something else. We're always told about how nice the Kiwis are, how nice the All Blacks are. They've got that policy in their team. I'm not going to say the word here because obviously I don't want YouTube to take my video down. But it's a word that starts with a D. And they've got a no Ds policy in their team. So if you're a D, then you're not allowed to be in the All Blacks team or squad. But it turns out that they're very nice people when they're winning, because it's easy to be nice when you're winning. But as soon as you start losing or a couple of decisions go against you, imagined or otherwise, then all of a sudden, they're just like the rest of us. They don't like it when they lose and they become somewhat disagreeable. Who could have known? And especially when it comes across from a man as decorated like that, or not even him. I mean, they are rugby shows. I'm sure you've watched them here on YouTube and on other platforms where we have former All Blacks. I'm not going to mention names in this instance, but you know who I'm talking about, where they just moan and they complain every week about the Springboks, about the bomb squad. And it's like, hang on a second. I thought you were supposed to be the nice guys. Turns out that when the shoe is on the other foot, they start acting just like everybody else. Now, earlier I spoke about the 2011 Rugby World Cup and the irony that someone involved with the All Blacks, or even just anyone from New Zealand, would claim that that tournament, or that they were robbed, whereas that tournament, in my opinion, was daylight robbery. Let me explain why. So, the Rugby World Cup in 2011, you may remember this, South Africa actually bid to host that tournament. Francois Pienaar was the head of our bid committee. World Rugby, or the IRB as they were still called in those days, opted to award the tournament to New Zealand. So they ended up hosting instead of us. Now, unlike the France 2023 situation, there wasn't an obvious element of skullduggery. So we just say, okay, we thought we had a better bid. We thought we had the best bid, but they've given it to New Zealand. There were some other reasons as well. New Zealand was supposed to co-host in 2003 with Australia, and then there was a big disagreement, and so Australia hosted by themselves. So maybe World Rugby felt like, okay, we should have let them have it in three, so we'll give it to them for 11. So little things like that. Plus, they hadn't hosted since 87, which at that stage was also the only time they had ever won it. And as it turns out, they would win 2011, and that meant that 2 World Cups in New Zealand, or co-hosted by New Zealand, and they had won both of them, but they'd never won a World Cup outside of their own country. Now, in the quarterfinals, the Springboks played Australia. The Springboks dominated the match. the majority of the fixture was played in Australia's half of the field, and most of what was played in their half of the field was played in their 22. And unfortunately, the Springboks just couldn't find a way through. Now, we did score two tries, as I recall. Both of them were ruled out. One of them was for a forward pass. I can't now remember exactly the second reason. The TV replays, as I recall, indicated that it was indeed a forward pass. It was fairly flat, but it was forward, as I recall. So, okay, fine. We won't hold that against them. Final score was 11-9 to Australia. But more importantly, the number of refereeing decisions that went against the Springboks, and I'm talking about obvious and blatant decisions. We're not talking about things where, oh, okay, the tackle height, like, did he dip his head? Did he not dip his head? We're not talking about close, fine margins here. We're talking about obvious things. We're talking about obstruction. We're talking about offside. We're talking about us being blown up and our players are looking around asking, what on earth just happened? Etc., etc. Now, the man who was the referee that day, Bryce Lawrence. Now, by the way, had the match been refereed fairly, given the territorial and possession advantage that the Springboks enjoyed that day, it's very difficult to imagine South Africa not winning that match if it had been refereed fairly. Having said that, Australia could still have beaten us that day had it been refereed fairly. So let's not say that it's a guaranteed win by South Africa. But what we can say is that the Springboks were extremely harshly treated. I've spoken to players and coaching staff who were involved that day who pretty much feel the same way. I'm not going to mention names because I don't want to implicate anybody in something that could blow up. But for example, there was one man involved with the Springboks that day. I won't mention his name, but he told me that he felt that there was cheating that went on that day, and he believes that there is cheating in world rugby. Now, that's very interesting. When you take into consideration a comment made by a man like that, with what we saw with our own eyes that day, and then you factor in that Bryce Lawrence, the referee that day, never refereed another rugby match in his life, but he was promoted to head of referees in New Zealand after that match. You can say that this is a conspiracy theory all you like, but the fact of the matter is there are a lot of question marks here. This is highly suspicious. Now also, the winner of that match went on to play the All Blacks. Now I'm very sorry, but if you're New Zealand, and you've got the track record that they had up until that moment. They won the World Cup in 87, and then they started getting this label of being World Cup chokers, fairly or unfairly. They lost in the semi-finals in 91, they lost in the final in 95, semi-finals again in 99, when they were leading at halftime against France, and then the French staged that magnificent comeback. They lost in the semi-finals in 03, they lost in the quarter-finals in 07 again to France. And now 11 at home, there's a lot of pressure to win their own World Cup. Remember, they dominate in between World Cups, but they just can't seem to win the Webb Ellis Cup. Who would they rather play in the semi-finals? Australia or South Africa? If you ask me, not that Australia were shocking at the time, they certainly weren't. They were a decent side. But I think the All Blacks would rather play Australia almost every day of the week. They're easier to combat. They're easier to get around in terms of the style that the All Blacks play, whereas the Springboks obviously present a far more difficult challenge in terms of the defense that the box present, but also the physicality that they bring to the table. So the All Blacks avoid that by taking on Australia, and they ended up winning fairly comfortably in that semi-final. Now, we don't know. The All Blacks may very well have beaten us in that semi-final anyway. We don't know what would have happened. But then you come to the final, where France outplayed New Zealand, if you ask me. It was the tightest of margins. It was a very, very tight affair. It was, quite frankly, a bruising rugby match. I would say Thierry Douzatois almost beat New Zealand by himself. However, the scoreboard indicates that the score in the end was 8-7 to New Zealand. The referee that day, South Africa, I'm not going to mention his name, we don't need to. You know who it was. South African guy. This referee was questioned after the match, not directly, but by fans and people who watched it, who thought that France were treated very unfairly in the final. A lot of people felt that there were certain All Blacks loose forwards, who may or may not have been the captain that day, who pretty much played the entire final offside, and it was never refereed correctly. And as it turns out, that very same referee now lives in New Zealand. Again, there are question marks here. There are all kinds of question marks here. And so I think you can argue with, from a certain point of view, certainly, that maybe the rest of the world was robbed at the 2011 Rugby World Cup. But we don't yet know. Maybe one day it will all come out. And I will see you next time.